Birshus Rabbi Shrier. So we're holding in the 9 days. We just had Rosh Chodesh last week, and we know one of the minhagim of the 9 days is that we are not allowed to eat meat or drink wine throughout the period of the 9 days. Where does this minhag start from? So it really comes from the Shibalei Haleket. That is the earliest time that we have a source for this minhag. Shibalei Haleket was in the 1300s. He was very influenced by the Talmidim of Rashi. So he writes, Matsasi B'Shem Reb Sadia Gon. The Shibalei Haleket writes that he heard in the name of Reb Sadia Gon, Shemishiva Aser B'Tamas V'Yat Tishabav, from the period of time beginning with Shiva Aser B'Tamas through Tishabav, Yesh Nizhar Mehem Shalalecha Basar V'Shalol Lishtos Yayin. There are those who abstain from eating meat and from drinking wine. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Nechas Tishabav, Simen Tafkuf Nun Aleph Lahalacha. So we assume that we try as much as we can not to eat basar, not to drink yayin. Before we get into the discussion about what's this all about, let's just point out that the Mishnah Berurah writes that for someone who is a cholak tzas, we assume that that's already enough of a heter not to have to keep by this rule of not eating meat and not drinking wine. We assume a cholak tzas, even though a cholah on Shabbos would be a lot more severe in order to allow us to be mechala Shabbos, you have to cholah sheim asakana, cholah sheyesh basakana, but over here, even a cholak tzas would be good enough. In fact, the Magen Avram writes, b'shem the Maharil, that even when you have an isha nida, even when you have a woman who's a nida, who has a little bit of stomach cramp, something, that's already enough of a reason to allow somebody to go ahead and violate this minhag of not eating meat and not drinking wine. In fact, the Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes as well from the Shavuos Yaakov that even when you have, the Rebbe Kiva Eger is the one who says about the nida, but the Magen Avraham writes that also one would be allowed to serve basar v'yayin to somebody who's chasar deya a little bit and he's coming back on his way. Let's say you have somebody who was sick in the hospital and they're coming back slowly, and now you're going to say, you're going to throw the whole system out of control. You're going to throw their general routine that they normally have this for dinner every night. Now all of a sudden you're going to throw a monkey wrench. You're going to say, no, we want to start ordering fish every night. So that's not going to be good for their health. And we would assume in a case like that, that's enough of a reason to allow them to go ahead and eat meat and to drink wine, even though it's the middle of the 9 days. We see that we're very makel when it comes to this minig of not eating meat and not drinking wine during the 9 days. In fact, we all know that when it comes to a siyum, even though generally we wouldn't always consider the siyumim that we have during the 9 days to be such a big sudas mitzvah. However, when it comes to the 9 days, we're mekel. They write in the biography of Rav Kook that when Rav Kook came back after he was married, when he came back to visit Balajan, and he came, the Netziv was so excited. The Netziv held that Rav Kook was one of his top talmidim. So when Rav Kook came back to visit in Balajan, the Netziv hosted him in his house, and the Netziv told the talmidim that even though it's the 9 days, I want you to make a fleishig suda because now it's a sudas mitzvah, because there's a great Talmud Chacham who's come to town. And he told them that they should bench alayayin, they should bench using wine, because it's really a sudas mitzvah. It doesn't matter that it's the 9 days, it doesn't matter that we have this minig that you don't eat basar v'yayin, but still, since we have a great Talmud Chacham in town, that's enough of a reason to say it's a sudas mitzvah, and that would allow us to go ahead and eat meat and to drink wine. So you see, generally throughout the year we wouldn't consider that to be such a great sudas mitzvah, but over here we're very makel when it comes to this minig during the 9 days. There's another story that's quoted about Rav Kook, that the Shaila was asked to Rav Kook, there was a kosher kitchen that was open. I guess it was a kitchen that was open for everyone to pay a little bit of money and to buy some food. So there was a kosher kitchen that was open in Eretz Yisrael, and they asked Rav Kook, what should they do during the 9 days? Should they close the kitchen and hang up a sign that they'll be back after the 9 days are over? So Rav Kook said, no, what's the alternative? What's going to happen if you close the kitchen? What's going to happen if this service is not available during the 9 days? So they said, well, everybody's going to go ahead and buy treif of meat. They're going to go buy nevela from the stores next door. They don't have another place to eat. So Rav Kook said, absolutely not, you have to leave the store open. But not only do you have to leave the store open, even the workers in the store, there's no shaila that maybe they're going to eat treif. Of course they're going to eat kosher. But even the workers in the store should sit down and eat with everybody else, because this is considered a sudas mitzvah. Why is it a sudas mitzvah? Rav Kook said, because you're allowing everybody to sit and eat kosher during the 9 days when they would have eaten treif. Said Rav Kook, that's already enough of a reason to be mesameach. That's a sudas mitzvah in and of itself. And even the workers in the restaurant should also go ahead and join the balabatim who are coming in to eat. They should join them in eating the meat as well. So you see that we have this idea of not eating meat, not drinking wine during the 9 days. However, even when you have a slight sudas mitzvah, that's already considered enough of a reason to bypass this minhag altogether. When it comes to ketanim, this is a major shaila. What's the halacha when we deal with people who are under the age of bar mitzvah? Do they have to follow this minhag or not? So the sugya really begins with the gemara of Moed Katan Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis, where the gemara says that a katan is allowed to be megaleach al aviv al ima. What does that mean? It means a katan who unfortunately loses a parent at a very young age, and the katan is now in avela. So the question is, are we allowed to go ahead and give a haircut to that child? Or do we say, no, he's in avela, he's in the middle of shiva, he's in the middle of shloshim, how can we go ahead and cut his hair? So we would assume, says the Gemara, you're allowed to cut his hair. Says the Tur, which kind of katan are we describing here? The Tur quotes from the Ritz Geis, and in fact the Taz quotes as the halacha, that we're describing a katan, shalohi gi'el achinuch. We're talking about a katan who's so young, doesn't even understand that the parent has died, doesn't even understand, doesn't grasp what the idea is of Hilchas Avelis, they can't fathom what we're talking about, what we're dealing with, so that's the type of katan that we're talking about, and in that case, says the Gemara, you're allowed to be megaleach es hakatan, even be me evlo. This is the way that the Tur quotes from the Ritz Geis, and this is the way the Taz paskins al-Halacha, which would mean, according to them, that once the katan is higiel achinuch, once the katan is a gadol, we would assume that you're no longer allowed to violate the Hilchas Avelis if he loses a parent. However, the Shach totally disagrees with this Shita of the Tur, with this Ritz Geis, with this Taz, and the Shach says, no, this Gemara is describing afilu katan shehigiel achinuch. We're talking about even a katan that's a older katan that does understand, that has a concept of Avelis, has a concept of loss, understands what's going on. Still, says the Shach, the Gemara assumes that a katan like that, since he's a katan, he does not have to follow the Hilchas Avelis at all. Why is that? Because we assume there's no din of chinuch when it comes to the mitzvah, when it comes to the din of Avelis. And that's what the Bir Halacha writes as well. Bir Halacha writes in Hilchas Tisha B'Av that we assume that there's no din of chinuch in training a katan, even if he's 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, he understands Churban Beis Hamikdash, he understands what a fast day, what a tainus is all about. Still, says the Bir Halacha, there would be no reason to get him used to fasting on Tisha B'Av, on Shavuos or B'Talmud, because there's no din of chinuch by Avelis. We paskin like the Shach, that we are never mechanech children when it comes to the din of Avelis. And since Tisha B'Av and Shavuos or B'Talmud are all about Avelis, so therefore the child would be excluded from that whole mitzvah and chinuch would not apply at all. Why is this the case? Why should we assume that chinuch doesn't apply when it comes to Avelis? How come chinuch applies to everything else and it shouldn't apply here? So three reasons are given in the Achronim. In Yerudea, the Beis Hillel writes, very simply, the Gemara says, Echad mibnei hachabura shameis, yidagu kol hachabura, which means, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes into account whenever he takes somebody's life, kabayachal, whenever somebody's life is taken away, we don't only think about the person who has lost his life. What about me? What about the relative? What about the friend who's having so much pain, so much anguish now that the person has passed away? So that's also part of the cheshbon. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes everybody into account when he takes somebody's life away. And obviously, we deserved it. Obviously, if we're going to be pained by the loss of this person, it means that in some way we deserve that punishment, that suffering, that loss that we're experiencing. So what does the Gemara say? Echad mibnei ha-chabura shameis, somebody from the chabura, a friend who passes away, yidagu kol ha-chabura, means it's a problem for all of us. Why is that? Because if we hadn't done something wrong, we wouldn't have lost this person. Obviously, from the fact that we lost the person and we're sad about it, it means obviously that we are somewhat responsible that we've done something wrong. Therefore, says the Beis Hillel, what you see is that all the Hilchas Avelis really stem from a place of tshuva. Avelis is a time for us to have communal introspection. It's a time for us to have a period to do tshuva, to think about what we've done wrong, and to try to consider why this person has lost his life. What have we done wrong to deserve this? So therefore he says, when it comes to a katan who's not responsible for his Avelis, who's not responsible for the things that he's done, that would not be an inyan of halacha that applies to him, and therefore we would assume that Hilchas Avelis, the katan, is totally precluded from, he doesn't have to get involved in Hilchos Avelis at all. That's the pshat that the Beis Hillel gives. Fancy pshat, but the Dagel Merivavah says, no, I have a simpler pshat. You know why a katan is not responsible to follow the Hilchos Avelis? Well, we know the Gemara talks about the great Maila of Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban, the young children who are going to learn, since they have such a purity of their mouth, since they always say something beautiful coming out of their mouths, they don't know, they're not old enough to be cynical yet, they're not old enough to talk Lashon Hara yet, so therefore he says, when we have that at stake, and we know that an Avil is not allowed to learn Torah, Avil Aser B'Talmud Torah, so therefore he says, we're not willing to give up the Talmud Torah of the Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban to go ahead and have the child prove the Hilchos Avelis, and therefore he says, Hilchos Avelis doesn't apply at all to a katan. Now this is very questionable. Why shouldn't you say, all the rest of Hilchos Avelis does apply to the katan, except for the fact that the katan is not allowed to learn? We should just get rid of that halacha for him, but everything else should apply. So this is an interesting question. Rabbi Shah writes in a tshuva very simply that the third reason why we find that Hilchas Avelis shouldn't apply to a katan is very easy. He says because Rashi and Tosis write in Maseches Chagiga Davav that what's the whole reason why we're mechanech katanim in the first place? Why do we have an inyan of chinuch? Why does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara says that chinuch is not the same at every age for every mitzvah. We assume that it depends what the child is able to grasp. That's when we are going to give them this particular mitzvah. So the Gemara tells us, let's say, Katan hayadeh lenanea, a katan who knows how to shake the lulav in the right directions, Rashi says, when he knows how to do it properly, then we give him a lulav. Katan ayodeh is atef, a katan who knows how to put on tzitzis, we give him a pair of tzitzis. Katan ayodeh lishmor as gufo, once the katan knows how to watch over his body and how to act appropriately with the tefillin, that's when we give him tefillin. So says Rav Moshe, what's the whole point of the mitzvah of chinuch? Why was this instituted? So he says that Rashi and Tosis write in Maseches Chagiga that the reason why we have this institution of chinuch is because we want that the child should become used to a certain routine, and if they're going to be used to it, then when it's going to count, when they become gedolim, they're going to know how to do it already. It's not going to be a problem. So therefore they say, that's what chinuch is all about. Well, says Rav Moshe, that makes sense when we talk about shofar, tzitzis, tefillin, lulav, all the mitzvahs that come all the time. However, when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, perhaps the child will never have to deal with this at all. We hope that the child will never have to worry about Hilchos Avelos. Parent will never die. The child will never have to sit shiva on the parent. So therefore, when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, the whole area of chinuch doesn't apply at all. That's what Moshe says, because the whole area of chinuch was only instituted because we want to make sure to be margil, in order to get the child into a regular cycle, into a routine. That's why we would encourage the mitzvah of chinuch, and therefore wouldn't apply over here. Now, it's interesting to note that there is a machlokas harishonim that's a little more detailed, a little more nuanced than what we just described. And that is, yes, it's true that the mitzvah of chinuch was instituted because we want children to get into a certain routine, and if they're used to always wearing the tzitzis, they're used to wearing a tefillin, then they're going to know what they're doing when it really counts, when they become bar bas mitzvah. However, it's not clear that that's the end of the story. The question in the Rishonim is, was that just the tam ha-takana? Was that just the impetus for the takana derabanan, and we left it at that? Or is it that no, that was the impetus for the takana derabanan, but once they were masakin it, now the child has to follow the rules. He has to do everything with the fee, every sifkatan and shulchan aruch. The child has to do everything exactly the way the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. Take, for example, the Magen Avraham's discussion that he has in Hilchas Lulav. What's the din? We know on the first day of Sukkot, you need shelachem. First day of Sukkot, the lulav and esrog, dalad minim, have to belong to me. So what's the halacha? I'm an adult, and I don't have enough money to buy a separate set of lulav and esrog for my child. So I go ahead, I buy one set, I'm going to give it to him. Has to be shelachem, I have to be makneh to him. So how can I be makneh to the child? The major shaila, how can the child be koneh? So the din actually is, it's something to think about, the child is able to be koneh, but he's not able to be makneh back to me. So that's a major problem. You have to make sure that the kid is the last one who uses it. But the Magen Avraham discusses, do I have to go to the child and really teach him all the halachas and say, well, you have to shake it exactly this way, in that direction, in this direction, this is the right way to do it, and you have to have a mind to be konan, it's really going to be yours. Is that really what's necessary for the mitzvah of chinuch? Or is it good enough just to provide him with a lulav and esrog, let him get the idea that on the first day of Sukkot, this is what we do, and as long as he's used to it, once he's older and he becomes bar mitzvah, he'll understand that there are obviously more details that are involved in the story. And he's gonna become a little more mature, and he's going to know, we'll teach him then, that there are more halachas involved than just taking it from his father and shaking the lulav and esrog. So this is a question that the Rishonim deal with. This is a machlokas in the Rishonim. Should we assume that a child is able to be yotzei v'schiv on the first day of Sukkot with a lulav sha'ul, with a borrow lulav, which an adult obviously would not be able to do? You can't be mekayem your mitzvah if you borrow a lulav. Has to be shalachem. Or should we assume, no, that the lulav and esrog has to actually belong to the katan? Why? Because it's not just that we say that it's not just that we assume that the katan has to become used to doing it. He has to become used to doing it in the proper fashion, in the right way that the halacha is supposed to be kept, and therefore a lulav shal will not be good enough. We have to actually be maknet to him. Rav Moshe talks about in a tshuva as well, when they were starting all the day schools after the war, so they asked Rav Moshe the shayla, they want to get the children used to the fact how they should act, how they should daven with a minyan. So they asked Rav Moshe, can we make a minyan for the young children and say, Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu Dvarim Shebekdusha, that generally are not allowed to be said if you don't have a real minyan of Asara Anashim, of 10 adults together? So this was a question that Rav Moshe was asked, and Rav Moshe said, well, it's not so simple to answer the question. Why? Because perhaps, yes, you're right, you want to get them into a routine, but you have to get them into the proper halachic routine. And the halacha dictates you're not allowed to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu if you don't have a real minyan of 10 men. So when you have fifth graders davening together, maybe it's not appropriate to have a minyan where they're going to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, because chinuch is not only to get them used to a routine, but it's getting them used to a routine which is going to be proper al pi halacha. So the Magen Avraham says, if you put that all together, we should assume that the iser of giving meat and wine to a child should not apply to the children at all. Right, because we know there's ein chinuch ba'avelus. We know that there's no such concept of chinuch when it comes to the mitzvah ba'avelus. So when it comes to eating meat and drinking wine, it also shouldn't apply. Says the Magen Avraham, no, it does apply. Why? In Tavkuf and Aleph, the Magen Avraham writes that it does apply to ketanim. Why? Because we assume that it's shiny avedus de yachid me avedus de rabbi. When it comes to the catastrophe of the churban beis hamikdash, when the whole Jewish people together are mourning, that's avedus de rabbi. Well, the child is also part of the rabbi. He's also part of the tzibur. So since he's part of the tzibur, we should assume that he also has to follow the halachos of avedus when it comes to the 9 days, and therefore the katan also would not be allowed to eat meat or drink wine. My father has pointed out on many occasions that this is a little problematic to assume that the whole isser of achidas basar and shtias yayin during the 9 days is really patterned off of Hilchos Avelus. In fact, if you flip through the whole Hilchos Avelus, nowhere in Hilchos Avelus does it say that an avel is not allowed to eat meat. Of course the avel is allowed to eat meat. And not only that, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, lo ivri yayin ela lenachem avelim. The whole reason why wine was created in the first place. Why do we have wine in the world? Lenachem avelim is to try to alleviate the pain of the person who's suffering. To try to alleviate the pain of the person who's sitting shiva. So to the contrary, wine was created in order to help the avil. So how can you tell me the reason why we don't eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days is because of Hilchos Avelus? It's not true. An avil himself is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So how can this really be the reason? See, it's time for mincha, but my father suggested a different shot based on a Gemara Baba Basa Dav Samach, in which you see, maybe we'll continue tomorrow, in which you see that the gather of not eating meat and not drinking wine is completely different. It has nothing to do with Hilchos Avelus, but rather it's an inyan of Zecha L'Migdash. Maybe we'll continue tomorrow. Kaddish.